Good morning. The first reading will be from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. It's entitled The Mountain of the Lord. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, said concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established at the highest of mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And the next reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, and then jumping to verse 39 to 58. I lost my spot. Just give me one second. Oh, there we are, the right chapter. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken. I had it on the right page. My apologies. My apologies. I thought I had that right. See? I was reading Isaiah. Okay, Luke chapter 1, 23. When his time of service was complete, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among my people." In verse 39, Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds within his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Teresa. Let us pray. God, as we hear your word from Isaiah and Luke, those words that may be very familiar to us, may we hear them this morning for this year, 2022, for this week, for this day, December 4th. May we hear them anew and hear what you have to say to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. So as we continue in our journey towards Christmas, which is what Advent is, We look a little bit more at the story of Elizabeth. Last week, we talked about her husband Zechariah and his journey as his son was born. But this morning, we hear about Elizabeth and about her interactions with Mary. But first, as I was reading this, I was thinking a little bit about crisis situations and about the need for calm and for comfort. And I have been told that when other people are in crisis, I can be a calm presence, someone who helps perhaps bring the levels down. And that's taken work and God's grace to get there. Because as someone who likes to solve problems, right, that's where my engineering brain kicks in. When someone tells me they have a problem, my first instinct is to try to come up with a solution. And I have in the past, especially in crises in my own life, wanted to react very quickly. As soon as I know there's a problem, I want a solution. And I want to jump forward. And what I've learned is that when I do that, things rarely go well. Usually everybody's tensions are high, and then trying to deal with it all right away just adds to people's stress, and it makes things difficult. And what I've learned is that it's important to step back and to take a breath, sometimes a few breaths, sometimes a day or two even, to pray and to allow what's happened to kind of percolate in my head. And then I'm able to come at the situation with a little bit more calm. Now, of course, that's not always possible. Some situations have to be dealt with immediately. And that is where I'm very grateful for my husband, because he is really good in an immediate crisis, and he has that calm presence in the moment that I so often need. And so this morning, as we think about peace, we can't help but think about conflict, and we can't help but think about these women that were in this story that leads up to Jesus' birth. These cousins, these women who were in very, very different stages of life and yet shared a common thing in that they were pregnant where they didn't expect to be so. Elizabeth, of course, as we talked about last week, is experiencing an impossible yet long sought after gift. This is the answer to years of hoping and yearning, past the point where she thought such things were possible. Mary, however, is in a different situation, right? She is pregnant under what most would call suspicious circumstances. She's engaged to be married, but she has not yet been married, which means she should not have committed the act required, and in fact has not, in order to become pregnant. And yet, here she stands. Now, to the modern world, of course, the concept of a virgin birth is not medically impossible. Right, we have means for those who cannot get pregnant a normal way or do not have a partner with which to get pregnant in order to have children. But that, of course, wasn't the case for Mary and for Elizabeth. And so for Mary, she is coming to Elizabeth probably from a place where she has been exposed to shame, where she has been perhaps excluded from the places she would normally be welcome because of her state. Whereas Elizabeth, who perhaps has experienced that over her life, because barrenness for women was often a sign that they did not have God's favor, even though we know from the story that both Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous people. And so Mary comes to Elizabeth, and this could have gone very poorly. For Elizabeth, as a righteous woman, she knows that Mary shouldn't be pregnant. She could have responded with judgment and with exclusion, with shutting the door in her face. And instead, Elizabeth senses the presence of God. She feels her baby move in her womb. She's about 6 months pregnant at this point. And she speaks out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and she welcomes Mary into her home and even calls her blessed. And she shares in the joy of her young cousin. And I can't help but wonder and ask the question, what might have happened to Mary if that wasn't Elizabeth's response? What might have been Mary's fate? What might have been her experience towards the birth of her baby if her cousin hadn't welcomed her in and given her a home for 3 months? We don't know. But before we can try and imagine what is going on in the home of Elizabeth, we need to step back. This is the week of peace, where we pray to the Prince of Peace and we prepare for his coming. And often when we think about peace, we think about war and violence and conflict and really big situations. And certainly we don't have to look far in the world to see where we might need to give prayers of peace. I am sure on our chain of peace this morning, many of us are praying for the situation in Ukraine, perhaps for the protests that are happening in China and Iran, for the rumors of plans for another protest here in Ottawa. You know, we all are perhaps experiencing that fear that comes with war and violence. And those are important. And we hear God's answer to those prayers in our scripture from Isaiah. Did you hear it? This promise that they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Isaiah is prophesying a world in which violence is so inconceivable, we have no more need for weapons. That all of the weapons that are there can be melted down and turned into tools for farming, tools for creating, tools for caring. It's hard to imagine such a world. And in all reality, we probably aren't going to see that world in our lifetimes. And yet it's something that will come to pass. It is one of the promises that is offered to us. But God doesn't just promise peace on the large scale. He also promises peace on the small scale. Jesus promises the peace, not as the world gives, but as he gives. A peace in our hearts, a peace in our families, a peace in our local situations. And I think that is the peace that Elizabeth is offered when she becomes pregnant with John. It says that she goes into seclusion, which I find interesting, right? Many people, when they're pregnant, they want to shout it to the world, at least at a certain point in the pregnancy. They want everyone to know, to share in their joy, which we hear that her community does in the end. But Elizabeth chooses to go into seclusion for 5 months, basically probably right up to the point when Mary arrives. Because if you think about it, you don't know you're pregnant immediately, right? So maybe a month or 6 weeks or 8 weeks have gone by before Elizabeth realizes that something is happening. And then you add 5 months on top of that. We're somewhere in the six and a half month range probably of her pregnancy. And so right up until Mary comes, Elizabeth has been staying in seclusion. Now, you might conclude maybe she's doing it for fear that people will get excited and she'll lose the baby. But that's not what Scripture tells us. We don't hear anywhere, and Scripture is very clear when people are afraid. And there's lots of them. Zechariah was afraid. Mary was afraid. The shepherds were afraid. There is lots of fear, understandably, when you come face to face with an angel. But we don't hear that about Elizabeth. And as she goes into seclusion, what she says, "The Lord has shown his favor and taken away the disgrace among my people." Elizabeth is relieved, but she needs time to process this blessing. She needs time to understand what it's going to mean to prepare herself for this late time motherhood that is coming to her. And I can only imagine her house must be a very quiet one, because of course her husband can't speak, if you'll remember. And so she has a growing life inside her, a husband who is quiet, and time for her to reflect, to be in grateful thanksgiving for this time. And I can't help but wonder if that time prepared her prepared her heart, prepared her spirit, so that when Mary came to the door, Elizabeth wasn't waiting for her in judgment, but prepared to receive her as God intended, with joy. It's very hard to be judgmental when we're feeling wonder and peace at what God has done in our lives. And so, as attuned to God's Spirit, when she feels her baby move, which of course it's 6.5 months if you've been pregnant, happens all sorts of times, often, you know, to the bladder or to the heart or to the lungs, but her baby moves inside her and she recognizes it. She says, God is at work here. And there's something special about my cousin. There's something special about the baby she will carry, whether she is pregnant at this point or becomes so in the future. And so Elizabeth welcomes her. And I want you to imagine for a moment what this moment might have been like from Mary's side. Coming out of her village, coming to this righteous family, perhaps because it's the only place she can think of to go that gets her out of Nazareth to a place where she can process what is happening to her. Imagine the trepidation she might have felt as she approached her cousin's door, unsure of the welcome she would receive. Imagine the wonder and joy when the door opens and her cousin calls her blessed. Those are the first words that Elizabeth speaks to Mary. Blessed are you among women. Not shamed, not excluded. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. What a gift Elizabeth offers to her young cousin. The gift of affirming that God is working in her. We haven't heard Mary's story yet, but at this point, she has been met by the angel Gabriel. She has experienced fear at the appearance of this angel suddenly in her life. She has expressed obedience, saying she will do God's will because it is commanded of her. But it is only after she walks into the home of Elizabeth that she is able to express joy, at least in the scripture story. And so we heard this morning what we call the Magnificat. Mary's expression of praise to God for what has happened in response to this wonderful gift of acceptance from her cousin. And so I ask you this morning, where is your heart today? Is it upset? Is it unsettled? Have you been experiencing an impulse to judge or an impulse to give up? Where are you this morning? If your heart isn't at peace, take some time and ask yourself why. What is it that's causing it to be unsettled? If God called on you to be a calm, non-judgmental support for someone tomorrow, would you be able to do it? Are you in a state of mind where you could offer what is needed? My hope for all of us is that we are able to experience the Prince of Peace in a real way this season, that we would have hearts that are calm and at peace, so that when someone comes to us in crisis, we are able to support them, to be that calming presence, that reminder that despite everything they see, they are blessed. Because we too are blessed by the Prince of Peace. Let us pray. Prince of Peace, Holy of Holies, God of love and mercy, we thank you for the gift of peace that you offer us. And I pray that for those of us who have trouble accepting it, that we would be able to open our hearts this morning and this week. So that if there are those in our life who need that extra moment of calm and of peace, that we might be able to give it. And that if we need that moment of peace and calm, that someone else in our lives might offer it to us, that we would receive the blessing of peace so that we can share it with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.